Hello there, and welcome to the Thinking Fellows podcast. My name is Caleb, and I'm joined by our regular hosts today, Drs. Rod Rosenblatt, Scott Keith, and Adam Francisco. Today, I want to do something that a lot of listeners, when I meet them in person, have talked about. It's sort of a part of it is sort of a running joke with the Thinking Fellows, and then part of this is serious. We started this show a little over 3 years ago now, and the first 4 or 5 episodes were definitely rougher than the rest. We were all new to this, except Rod, who had been on the White Horse Inn for a long time. So we were new to doing sort of radio type or you know, discussion around the table on recording. The equipment that we first used in those first couple episodes before we made a trip to the store was not good, to say the least. My editing abilities were not up to snuff either. And so those episodes, while they're some of the most listened to episodes of our show, are probably some of the lowest quality that we have to offer. And so what I want to do is revisit the topics that we did there. So in the first 5 episodes of the show, which was sin, the law, the gospel, grace, and justification. Now, I don't think there was anything wrong with the content of those episodes that we did, but I think we have revisited so many of the topics that we've done in this show under different names or under questions and Q&A that it would be good to just anyways revisit these topics now 3 years later. Not that the doctrine as we present it will have changed, but perhaps situations regarding error in these or people we've run into has certainly changed over 3 years. So just addressing those and now giving people something to listen to that is up to the modern quality of the Thinking Fellows, but deals with the early things we dealt with on the show. So that's what we're going to do today. Before we get into the main episode, I just wanted to remind everybody that Thinking Fellows is part of the 1517 Podcast Network. You can go to 1517legacy.com/podcasts to find everything that we offer there. 10 shows. It's about 10 to 11 hours of audio a week, depending on how long some of the shows go or not. You can listen to all sorts of things like Thinking Fellows, Virtue in the Wasteland, 40 Minutes in the Old Testament, 30 Minutes in the New Testament, the Blogcast, all these great shows covering a huge variety of topics every week. It's pretty awesome to watch that grow, see listener response to all those different things, and see just how many different topics we can cover and still give you something Christ-centered every week.
Did I tell you I got a text last week out of the blue about the Blogcast, which is basically, if the listeners don't know, we have somebody that reads and produces our blogs in audio format. So any blog that comes out on 1517 is read, produced as a 1517 Blogcast, so that if you live in Southern California or something like that and you're in your car all the time and don't have a lot of time to read, you could actually listen to everything that we put out. Got a text out of the blue from one of my pastor friends who just basically said, the Blogcast is great. Thanks. So anyway, give it a listen.
Yeah, those only take 5 or 6 minutes. And so they're kind of great little snippets if you don't have, you know, an hour to listen to something.
Are those called a short? I have a short that I listen to occasionally.
Yeah, there's some great ones out there. Mike Rowe has, like, the most popular one. It's called The Way I Heard It. Kind of defines the genre of these micro-podcasts. So.
Well, our writers put some real sweat and time into a blog post. You know, the original's worth reading and or hearing.
Yeah, I would say that about the 1517 main site blogs are very well thought out and edited. And, I mean, even at this point, you know, they're produced by the writers and prompted by an editor who gives writing prompts, and it's very professional endeavor these days.
That's a great resource there. If you'd like to support the Thinking Fellows or any of the other podcasts, the best way to do that is to simply go to the 1517 website, hit the donate button there. You can say why you're donating. There's a text box there, and you can say that, you know, it's to support the podcast network and things like that. We definitely need listener support to keep these things up. It's not the easiest thing in the world to maintain 10 different shows at once. There are definitely expenses that come with that, hosting solutions, website, recording equipment, you name it, travel and things like that. To make these happen every week is quite a feat, and I think it's amazing that we're able to do this so often. And so if you are able to support us, we would love to have your support in whatever way possible. Okay, so let's get into the main topic of the show today. We're going to go back to episode one, the doctrine of sin. I think it'd be good to say, why did we start the show with all things considered, what we could have done with the doctrine of sin? It seems like a really gloomy, gloomy thing to start a new show.
Really, really important, though.
You want the long answer or the short answer?
Yeah,
yeah. We want the complete answer.
Oh gosh.
Well, when I thought of doing this, originally, my conception of doing a podcast did not go much beyond wanting to cover the topics of the Lochi.
Melanchthon.
Melanchthon's Lochi communes are topics of theology. And so at that point, because he's, and I don't want to get too deep into the weeds here, but because he wrote several different editions of that, it was a matter of choosing which table of contents do you follow. And because it's the most highly regarded and the one that was loved by Luther, and honestly the one that I think approaches the idea of doing theology very soteriologically, we chose the earliest edition, the 1521, which itself starts with the doctrine of sin, because instead of doing systematic theology sort of classically like had been done before him and sort of, I guess you'd say, in a way going chronologically, creedally, let's call it creedally, mm-hmm. Going from a doctrine of God to a doctrine of creation to a doctrine of man to a doctrine of sin, dun, dun, dun. Melanchthon jumped to the heart of the matter in 1521 and said, if any of this matters, it matters because you are a sinner and you need to be saved and Christ is your only hope for salvation. And so the first several topics just follow that ordering, right? You're a sinner. You need to be saved. Here's your hope for salvation. His name is Christ.
That's great. So this is, that's the inspiration of the show had these topical series. That's why we ended up doing different topics, right? Because we started with the Lochi series, and then eventually, as you were saying, you run out of numbers in the table of contents, right? It's not an infinite book. And so then we moved on to things like, Great Thinkers of the Christian Church, apologetics.
Well, yeah, that's funny. I mean, if you want to do a little history of the show, it was hilarious because I had listened to maybe like 3 podcasts in my life when I said, hey, let's do a podcast. I knew radio shows, but I think a long time ago I used to listen to a podcast as they were just coming out, and I didn't know what they were. And so when we finished up, when we were getting done to finishing the Lochi series, you and I met with Adam, and we came up with the idea of the apologetics series. And so we went from the Lochi series to apologetics. I remember sitting at some restaurant, and we sketched out an outline for the apologetics series. And then when we were done with the apologetics series, we're kind of feeling like we're series people. So we we started sort of the Great Thinkers series. And it's actually not been – that took us several years to do all 3 of those.
That took the entirety of the 3 years. We started approaching the show differently year 3 because of the way those
– I would say to me it feels like it's not been so long since we've sort of had this new format, which in my mind is a little more random and makes me a little nervous sometimes.
Yeah, there's definitely some more randomness to the show now because of the way we approached those first 3 years, we covered so much, right? And it was hard to not double back.
Well, I would say now being a person who listens to podcasts now, that the more, I guess I'll just call it random, I don't have a better word, is more like podcast than is a series. So
that's right.
If we wanted to be like other people, we're there.
So to get back on track a little bit, why don't you explain how Melanchthon on Sin works as the inspiration for our start here?
Yeah, so if we're going, especially the earlier you go, it's pretty easy. It'll be very similar to Luther on Sin. The funny thing with Melanchthon, I think, is that you don't have as much of a definitive change point in Melanchthon. It's harder to say. Like, it is pretty easy with Luther, right? So 1517-ish, maybe a little bit before, his mind starts to change and he starts writing differently, and his writing gets a lot of attention because not only is it different to him, but it's much different to everyone else in his time, and it gets a lot of attention. Melanchthon comes on the scene, you know, right around the time of the Heidelberg disputations and thereafter. And by this time, Luther's already sort of made a lot of waves. He's sort of a big name. And if you're discussing evangelical theology, when Melanchthon gets to Wittenberg, he very much has a desire to sort of fit that Luther-esque mold. And so he does. And so even in 1521, which is when the first edition of the Loci comes out, 3 years after Heidelberg, 4 years after the 95 Theses, what you get is, I'd say, very Pauline, very Luther-esque. Pauline specifically because the original edition of the Locis comes out of a series of lectures that he did on the Book of Romans. And in fact, it's ordered the way it is, beginning with sin, because it's following his lecture notes on teaching on the Book of Romans, which in itself, first three chapters, right, deals with the doctrine of sin.
Yep.
And so Melanchthon on sin, as we would discuss it in the early Loci, really is sort of parroting the Apostle Paul on sin in the first three chapters of Romans.
Yep.
So you are going to find out that you are in a worse situation than you think you are.
Yep.
That no one is left with an excuse, or everyone is without excuse. That your heart is the issue, not your outside actions as much. It's a very deep, deep problem, and one that you cannot solve on your own.
Well, you know, when Luther advised later on people about the name of the group, he first suggested that there's the Via Moderna, there's the Via Antiqua. Think of us as the Via Paulinica. Mm-hmm. And people said that's way too scholarly. Yeah. Way too scholarly. But that was Luther. He said, whatever you do, don't name it after me.
Yeah.
But that was one of the earliest suggestions, the Via Paulinica.
Yeah, that's interesting. The Way of Paul.
Yep.
Yeah. Which I think it's very accurate, especially for the early years of Luther in the Reformation, to think of Paul. I mean, Luther,
the apostle, that's what he calls him.
Luther is reacting to things that are affecting him as he reads the apostle. And as he sort of, even as he starts to master the original languages and get some of the nuance that you can get out of the original languages, these things are mind-blowing to him, just absolutely mind-blowing.
Yes.
And
yes,
where he gets into trouble, quote-unquote, in his world, is where he sees that what he's learning is contrary to what he's been taught, or or furthermore, contrary to the common practices of the church of his time.
Yeah. If you open up any evangelical dogmatics or book of doctrine, almost every time what you find as the basic definition of the law is that we are sinners because we're lawbreakers. What's good and bad about that?
Yeah. I mean, I don't say that in class, but I bring up this idea in class, and I usually start it with a question. You know, is the problem our sins, you know, S, or is the problem that we're a sinner? You know, now there can be a both and, of course, right? Both of those things are problems.
Sure.
But what's the main issue? What's the main thing that separates you from salvation, separates you from God? Well, if you read the apostle, you know, you'll find out that the issue is that you're broken. You are a broken sinner, and that it's a matter of the heart, and it's the fact that you are a sinner which causes you to be a lawbreaker in the case of the evangelical, or causes you to be a sinner, right? To actually
you sin because you're a sinner, not the opposite.
Yeah. Your sins are proof that you're a sinner.
Right.
They're not the things that cause you to sin.
Yep.
Yeah. Or to be a sinner. You are the sinner. You sin. That's proof of it.
Just
one of the proofs.
Which to go back to things we've talked about on previous episodes is why even those things which appear to be good are still sinful apart from Christ. Right.
Yeah. Even the best of our works. You even find prayers from the Reformation era once in a while, where the author asks God for the sake of Christ to forgive even his good works. Not common, but you find them.
Yeah. I think that'll probably strike a lot of the listeners kind of odd.
Sure. You know, sure.
And what does Luther mean when he says that type of thing? I mean, the reality is that if you read the text of Scripture, and then if you come sort of full circle in Luther's understanding of some of these things too, you'll find out that the reality is that one of the things that makes you most sinful is the fact that you constantly try to rely on yourself
yep.
for your own salvation.
Yep.
Well, how do you rely on yourself for your own salvation? Well, it's not by doing bad stuff,
mm-hmm.
right? It's mm-hmm. by trying to do good stuff, which is not in itself bad.
Yep.
But in the end of the day, when you try to do that good stuff and you somehow find a way to point to it as efficacious to your salvation in some way, as meaningful to your salvation, as meaningful to your righteousness before God, as the reformers would have called it meritorious, right? That it merits God's favor.
Uh-huh.
So another, let's say this sort of gymnastician-esque, right? It's as though we come to believe that when we walk the old lady across the street, God's up in heaven going, well, there it is.
Uh-huh.
There it is. I knew I needed to save you, and you finally showed me why.
Yep. Yep.
You know.
It's. I made a reference to a contemporary movie. I can't remember which one it was, but also to Chariots of Fire, completely Christless.
Yeah, that's a way back reference, but I'm going to get you there.
Yeah, there are a lot of, quote, Christian movies that are Christless.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they're good illustrative points.
They're full of works and full yep. of valuable moral lessons, yep. possibly.
Yep.
But they're Christless.
But they're Christless.
Which makes them, you know, not Christian.
Yep.
So, yep. And that's, I mean, that's the reality. Walk into a Bible bookstore. If they still exist, yeah. I haven't seen one in a while, but and see how much there might be a lot of the word Jesus around, right? But see how much actual Christ for you
uh-huh.
is in that place.
No, most is self-help.
Most is self-help with Jesus added on, the yep. word Jesus added on.
Jesus as CEO.
Yeah.
Yep.
Jesus as life coach. Right. Jesus as yep. this, that, and the other thing. Jesus, everything but Jesus as Savior.
Yep.
Yeah. And that's what's called a high anthropology, right? That's having a high view of yourself as a person and your ability to save yourself. Having the other flip side of that is having a low anthropology, which is a high view of sin. Not that you regard sin. It's not a high view in that you regard it, but you regard its, you know, the impact that it has on your life and your salvation.
Yeah, I think this is one of the most common things we run into. Ironically, while I was sitting here, I got a notification from Reddit on my phone, and there was somebody put a post up about how one way or another you leave the world a better place than when you came, either because you were a good person, or because other
you're
people,
gone.
Or other yeah, because you're gone, because you were a bad person, and people filled your void with goodness.
Oh, I thought you mean sarcastic. It's true.
No, it was true, and it assumes that. And
I
then
like
I went
the,
through
I just
the,
like the way Adam said it.
Yeah, that's good.
Because you're gone.
You know, you go through the comments, and it was full of people saying how the first 10 years of their life, they were a crappy person, and they realized it, and they've turned it around. And I've turned my life around, and now I'm being a good person, yada, yada, yada.
Lewis wrote of that and said, I decided to not be such a rat, and he discovered that ran so deep he couldn't improve himself. Mm-hmm. He said that was the beginning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I want to be clear here that I think if somebody, let's say, they're 40 years old, and they spent the first 20 years of their life being an utter a-hole. Can I say that on this?
Yeah, probably.
And that if they, at that point, say, listen, I have alienated every person in my life, and I want to turn this around, and they turn it around, good on them.
Yep.
You know, absolutely good on them. And in the civil, what we call the civil realm, that's that realm where we deal with each other as people. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in
earthly.
Earthly, you know, we deal with our neighbors. That's great. You ought to do that, right? And as far as your civil impact on the world goes, if you do that, you probably will leave a positive impact on the world, at least for a time, as people can remember you, right? Mm-hmm. Don't get too haughty, you know, one or two generations down the road and probably nobody will know your name. But beyond that, you know, this civil impact to your direct neighbors, great. But the minute you believe that has anything to do with your position before a righteous God,
yep.
you've now turned those good things into sin.
Yep.
And that's the point. The problem is that's what we always do.
Yeah.
That's what we are. That's how we think of this, right? If it's helping Adam, it must be helping God. Well,
there are phrases in the New Testament that we read lightly. Enemies of God, Ephesians. Mm-hmm. That's who we are.
At war.
At war. We started the war. Yeah. And it's every child of Adam. Every single one of us.
Talk about bringing a rock to a gunfight. Huh?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing here is that even these, we're such sinners that even these things that should be good, we can turn to bad.
Yep.
And we do it how we always do it, by making it more about us than it is.
Yeah.
You know, because we are, at the end of the day, self-centered creatures. And that's you know, curved in on ourselves.
Yeah, see, that's what's missing in those evangelical textbooks that define sin as breaking God's law. It's leaving out what you're talking about right there. It's deeper than that. It's true. We're lawbreakers by our very nature in Adam, but it's worse than that.
Yeah. If you believe that, and I'm going to say this very carefully, if you believe that standing before God, you're basically a good person, mm-hmm. that's called a low view of sin and a high anthropology.
Yeah.
If you believe that standing before a righteous God, you have no hope.
Not even a word of defense.
Not even a word of defense. And that if you do have hope, that only hope is outside of you and in Christ alone. That's called having a low anthropology, right? Mm-hmm. And a high view of God. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
Higher view of God than of yourself.
Yeah.
And that's sort of the key. The problem is that we all tend to the other. We all tend to,
yes.
And because we are sinners, we all tend to rely more on ourselves.
And
our
being a baptized Christian doesn't end that. It'll be with all of us till the day we die.
No.
It's just there all the time.
Yeah. But ironically, being a baptized Christian can make it so that these works that are normally just civil, right, are actually two seen as works for God, only in this sense that, and Luther said it this way, God doesn't need your good works, but your neighbor does, right? Mm-hmm. So what does that mean? God doesn't need your good works to save you.
Yep.
Because he's got that taken care of because your works would never be good enough.
Yep.
But your neighbor does. And when you do those things for your neighbor, God is pleased by them. But not because they're perfect, not because they're so good, not because you're so much better than your neighbor, but because he's pleased at you already, because when he sees you, he sees Christ.
Right on.
I mean, period.
Yep.
Now, that's even hard for us as sinners to accept, because you're like, even the good things?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay, well, we are at break time, so on that note, we're going to go to our break, and then we'll come back to finish up this episode. Hello there, and welcome to our break. I'm going to talk about another show on the 1517 Podcast Network. It's called 40 Minutes in the Old Testament. Its hosts are Chad Bird and Dan Price. They have both been on the Thinking Fellows before. Dan came on and did an episode about parables with us, and Chad has been on an episode where we talked about some of the concepts in his book, which is titled Night Driving, and there's a subtitle there, but I don't remember exactly what the subtitle is. I'll put that book in the link.
Yeah,
in
it
the show
has
notes.
A lot to do with the Doctrine of Sin, done really well.
It sure does. I recommend it to people.
Chad
frequently.
Bird is a wordsmith.
Yeah, and it's about a 9,500-page book, so it's really easy to get through too. And the chapters are they're each different stories, which is a great writing style to give to people who don't want to sit down and read systematic theology, which I don't blame you. So when people, I think I actually just had somebody ask for a recommendation for a friend on particular doctrines of the way of looking at sin and grace, but that was to somebody who's used to, when they read, only reading novels. And I said, this is really kind of the road to go to. But they host a show called, like I said before, 40 Minutes in the Old Testament, where they actually do exegesis on verses of the Old Testament. And they started in Genesis. They went through Exodus. getting towards the end of Leviticus now on that show, and they go verse by verse. They don't skip much, and so that's why it's been sort of slow. They started 2 weeks after the Thinking Fellows started their podcast, okay. So it's 3 years old as well, and they're making great progress. And the reason this show is unique is when I go on iTunes and other podcasting apps and I look at Bible study podcasts, quote unquote, the majority of them are going to be some sort of moralism, especially when it comes to the Old Testament, right? It's going to be following the law, or it's going to be these really popular preachers like Joel Osteen or Joyce Meyer and things like that, where they're doing excerpts from the Old Testament or something like that. Not what I would call high-quality stuff or Christ-centered stuff. Their show is about Old Testament theology and Old Testament verses, but through the perspective of the coming Christ, the Christ who right is going on to fulfill the Old Testament. And so it's a fantastic show. I think it's really unique in its space online. And so you should go check that out. You can go to 1517legacy.com/podcast, click on 40 Minutes of the Old Testament, or you can use the direct link in these show notes to their show on iTunes. All right, guys. So we're going to finish it up. We talked about the background of this episode. We talked about the background of kind of the reformational and Melanchthon's approach to sin.
I want to throw something in.
Sure.
We discussed this during the break, and the microphones were not on. Consider reading the second book of Lewis's space trilogy. The title is Paralandra. And I swear that is the best intro to the doctrine of the fall you'll ever read. Right, Scott?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, when you have the instances of the queen and I'm forgetting the...
Ransom?
Well, not Ransom. The
the guy from England, the unbeliever?
The doctor. When he's literally, if you take it into the Genesis context, he's trying to argue Eve into sinning.
Yep.
And it puts those just very few verses in Genesis, you know, where the snake somehow gets Eve to sin against God. And in Genesis, you get... you know, just a few words, and she's convinced. But Lewis, in the way that he does, he writes this into a fictional story where you can imagine at least a protracted period of time where it actually took some convincing.
She would get tired.
She would get tired, you know, and it takes him days to find her weakness. And, you know, when he does, it's an interesting one, and it's just, it's great.
It's second great. Book of what's called the Space Trilogy.
I'll put a link to both that and the whole series in the show notes.
Yeah, lesser read fictional series of Luther for sure.
Of Lewis.
Of Lewis, sorry. And slightly harder to get through in places, but Paralandra is amazing.
Yeah. It's good. So to close up this episode, I thought we'd do maybe just these last 10 minutes on directly what is the doctrine of sin? What's our approach to it? And then maybe let Adam talk about the sort of the change from Rome to the Reformation that happened as well. So, Adam, you want to start with that?
Sure.
Because one of the things I've heard directly from some evangelicals and some Baptists is that Luther didn't go far enough on this issue. He stayed too close to Rome.
Really?
Which is kind of interesting, right?
Yeah, very weird.
I think it's a very odd response, but I've heard this, especially, and I think it was in response to the way we handle sacraments, really.
Usually it is. He didn't get the basement cleaned out.
Correct, but that has to do with the way we hang on to original sin and things like that.
Yeah, I think like we talked about last episode, when you're talking about the medieval church, it's all over the place. But probably the easiest contrast would be in the medieval church, humans are inclined to sin, whereas in Luther and the conservative Reformation, they're bound to sin in a way. That's their, as we talked about in this first half, that's your nature. You're by nature sinful and unclean, as we confess every Sunday. Mm-hmm. In medieval Rome and maybe American evangelicalism, at best you're inclined towards it, but you can certainly work really hard to
get yourself out of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think when we were talking the first half, one of the things, so not to get into the Islamic shtick so much, but for example, Muslims will talk about sin. Lots of people, they might not use the word sin, but they talk about sin, and what they mean is just the thing, the external things you do. The thing that marks Reformation theology is very different in lots of things, obviously, but different from world religions, other theology, is this notion that you sin because you're already a sinner. And that, I mean, that makes all the difference in terms of how we, not just how we define sin, but how we see justification, salvation, and so on and so forth. This is the this is one of those doctrines upon which the church stands or falls.
Yeah, in a way.
No, I think absolutely, because if you don't go deep enough with this, you're not going to go deep enough with your need for salvation.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And then you won't go deep enough with Christ's person and work.
Yeah.
I mean, all of it's.
Yeah, yeah.
Everything's off the table if you don't get this one.
Yeah, and what, and we're not saying, I think we, when we first did this 3 years ago, one of the points we made was we're not saying that we're a bunch of sociopaths.
Yes, we didn't.
God's, we still have our reason and our sense experience.
Might as, even as be Luther mayor, mayor of the city.
Yeah, yeah. We're talking about before God, Coram Deo.
Yep.
We are absolute enemies. Hostile to God.
Yep. Hate him.
Only he can fix that.
Great. So then in presenting this, what are we going to close it out with?
Well, I think we need to close it out with the reality that the reason this needs to be taught so vigorously is because it's the only way that the sinner will be led to Christ as their only hope.
Yep.
If I teach you a doctrine of sin and I leave in you some sense that before God you can really make your own way, I will never make the case for Christ strong enough to you.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason this matters is because to you, the sinner, in cases where we're doing our job, the unbeliever, even the redeemed Christian, needs to hear time and time again that before God, standing on your own, you have no hope. Your sin runs so deep, it is such a problem, that you will always choose to be at war with God. You're bound to it, as Adam said.
Yep.
And that your only hope is Christ. If as preachers and teachers and just fellow Christians, we lighten up on that with each other, we leave room for me to do what I really am inclined to do, which is
justify myself.
And leave Christ out of the picture, or at least minimize his role. And that's not scriptural, and at the end it will not lead to the salvation of the sinner.
That's a good close.
That is a good close. I mean, yeah.
Two in a row.
Yeah, two right in a row, huh? Yeah, I mean, that's why, in essence, why we started with it, outside of it being an outline. Of following the Loci. It's why the next doctrine here is going to be the law, right? Because that's how you're going to realize or be shown your sin and your need for the gospel. And so thank you for following along with this episode. I hope that we were able to sort of do justice to what we did in the original and bring things up to speed. If you are new to our show, I hope this encourages you to go back and listen to some of the early episodes we did on the show, which really set a foundation for the rest of the work here. You can go on our website, thinkingfellows.com, and there's different tabs of categories. If you go to the theology categories there, all these will be presented to you, so you can listen to them either in the order that they were
broadcast,
thank you, or in a topical order which interests you. And again, I think there is some merit to the way that we followed this. So if you're listening to this, you can take that into consideration. If you're using podcasting apps such as iTunes, Overcast, Stitcher, Podcast Addict on either iOS or Android and things like that, you can see the whole series that we've done, the entirety of the Thinking Fellows, in numerical order.
With regard to today's, if you want to do a background reading, it's Romans 1, Romans 2, and the first half of Romans 3.
Yeah.
There you go, 2. So, and again, I try to link things like this into the show notes, so I'll go ahead and do that as well. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Thinking Fellows, and we'll catch you next time.